The reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. Jesus said, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins."
I'm sure many of you still remember Brian and Vera Snelling. Brian was rector here a while back. And yesterday, Vera Snelling quoted on Facebook a poster that someone had seen, found it in a church in France. And when they tried to translate what was on the poster, it said this: "When you enter this church, it is possible that you will hear the call of God. However, it's unlikely that he will call you on your mobile. Thank you for turning off your phones. If you want to talk to God, enter, choose a quiet place, and talk to him. If you want to see God, send him a text while driving." Made you pause for a moment, didn't it? You'll see God directly. Last week and today, I want to talk about prayer and have a look at how to pray. Jesus' disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus then taught them the Lord's Prayer that Eileen has just read. And still today, people want to learn how to pray. They know that there's power there in prayer. And it's actually a very, very natural thing, prayer. When we're in trouble, people naturally pray instinctively. As I said last week, it's the Christian's vital breath. Just as breathing is to the body, so prayer is like oxygen to the spirit. It's the way that our spirits breathe and connect with God. And one way to do it is ACTS, A-C-T-S. In other words, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Last week we looked at adoration, worshipping God for who he is, his nature and character. And also confession, saying sorry to God, because nobody's perfect. This week, thanksgiving. It means, obviously, giving God thanks, but particularly for what he's done, rather than who he is. Now, I know to start with, you might find you go a bit sort of blank at this point. But with all these aspects of prayer, practice is the key to it all. So I'd suggest that to start with, you read your Bible, and you thank God for Jesus. You thank God for all that he's done in Scripture, for the Israelites and for the story of their journey out of the towards the Promised Land, for example. Thank God for the early church and for all that we read about in the New Testament. And as you do that, you'll find that you begin to believe more. Your faith in God begins to rise. Your trust in God increases. And you begin to realize that he can do these things. He has the power, even today. Maybe you like history, or reading historical novels, or even biographies of Christians. And as you read those stories, you can thank God for what he's done in the lives of others down the years. Thank him for those things. Then again, you may have seen in the news that this year is the centenary of the armistice, the end of the Great War. On August the 4th, 1918, the king called the whole nation to prayer. And exactly 100 days later, on November the 11th, 1918, the armistice was signed and peace was declared. And so Remembrance 100 is a celebration of those 100 days of prayer and a call to Christians to pray this year, today. And of course, there's going to be loads of events in November, including an exhibition here in the church and, of course, our Remembrance Day service. So I think we can give thanks, too, for this centenary. We can give thanks for 100 years since the end of the Great War. We can give thanks for peace in our time. We can give thanks for God's answers to prayer, his faithfulness. Then again, some Christians keep a journal. In other words, a really nice notebook to write down what God has said and done in your life. Maybe you're praying for somebody or something in particular. Jot it down in your notebook. And then, weeks later, you look back and you realize that your prayer has been answered. Maybe you didn't notice it at the time. But now you can give thanks for that. You can say, thank you, God, for what you've done in my life, for the way that you've answered that prayer of mine weeks ago. That practice is remarkably encouraging. Many Christians say they really hadn't realized, they hadn't grasped how many prayers are answered by God until they started making notes of them. And suddenly they thought, wow, there's that one, that one, that one. God has answered so many prayers. Then again, there's our sharing time here in church on Sundays, isn't there? Again, we tend to go a bit blank sometimes, don't we? We find it hard to think of anything that God might have done this week, for example. And then a friend jumps up and tells us all the most amazing story about God's working and the way God's answered prayer yesterday or whenever it was. And part of the reason that we come to church, part of the reason we gather here on a Sunday, is so that we can encourage one another that God is working powerfully in our world. Actually, I think they did that in the early church too. I expect even for them in the early church, most weeks were quiet and unremarkable, normal weeks in their day-to-day lives. But then a letter would be read out from Paul, or Luke would read out the first draft of the Acts of the Apostles or whatever, and they'd realize how amazing God is and the astonishing things that he has done and is doing. And so we give thanks for God's acts in our world. Not always in my life every moment, but in the church and in the world around us. And the Bible is a collection of the best bits, the highlights, if you like, of the life of people who believe in him. Now, in these days of websites, of course, you can find loads of these stories and testimonies really easily. For example, on New Wine's website, there are lots of stories of people who've been blessed by God, who've been healed by God, who've come to meet with God afresh. On the Alpha website, similarly, stories of people who've come to faith on Alpha. Amazing stories, well worth looking up and reading. Thy Kingdom Come. Andrew and Joy's daughter Emma has put up loads of stories there of people who've come to faith, people whose prayers have been answered, people who've been blessed by God. And they're really inspiring. Lots and lots of places to encourage you with stories of God's power at work today. And that's a great way to build up your faith in God and to give you something to give thanks for when you come to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for all those things. Then again, supplication is the other aspect of prayer. Supplication means asking for things, begging sometimes for God to hear our prayers. It's probably what most people think of when we mention prayer, coming to God and asking for him to do things. And can I say, if you've already spent time in adoration of God, in confession, and in thanksgiving, then you will have a true eagerness, a tremendous longing to bring your concerns before this amazing God. You'll be ready to bring your prayers to him. Don't forget to keep your focus on God and not on the world. Jesus had to remind his followers continually to do that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you do this, your faith will increase. But if you focus on the world and on the problems that you face, on how difficult everything is, then you begin to get depressed and hopeless. And if you feel that happening, remind yourself briefly who you are praying to and adore him. Confess your mistake and your lack of faith. Give thanks for what he's done already in other contexts. And then lay this concern before him again and leave it with him. If you're keeping track of your prayers with a journal, then don't forget to note down what you've just prayed for. And can I suggest, be as specific as you can. Don't just make it so vague, because that way, you know, you're not committing yourself or whatever. Be specific if possible. You may have had a silly thought in the middle of praying, something that just popped into your head. And experience has shown that that's often how the Spirit of Jesus prompts our prayers. And what you thought was mad and came out of nowhere was actually God's word to you. Note it down in your journal. Probably nobody else will see it. And pray into it, whatever it might have been. And later, when you're looking back, you'll probably be surprised to find out how relevant that weird idea was. Our family uses prayer cards, a postcard for each day of the week with a few people or topics on each card for each day. And that's very handy if you've decided to pray for somebody or something, then write it down on a card. Choose a day of the week that's the right day to pray for. Peter Strode, bless him, has made a list of our church members on our electoral roll with a few names each month for each PCC member to pray for. And Elizabeth has actually done the same for our messy church families so that we can pray for them. It's a good thing, isn't it, to pray for those who are on our hearts and minds. Pray for your village, your area. That's what I was saying we were doing yesterday morning, Saturday morning, walking around the area and praying for the people and the businesses here. Then again, there's Thy Kingdom Come, isn't there? An initiative to pray in the 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost, praying for the coming of God's kingdom here on earth. Praying for God to be sovereign, for his reign to spread across the earth as it is in heaven. And Thy Kingdom Come has caught the imagination of Christians in 105 countries so far. And Justin Welby says it seemed to just come out of nowhere. And he said that for him is a sign of a true work of God, a sovereign work of the Almighty. You might find yourself in a crisis or in sudden need. It might happen from time to time. And Christians have long recommended arrow prayers. In other words, like shooting a prayer up to God, just like letting an arrow fly. Nehemiah, you probably remember, he was put on the spot by the king. What is it you want then? And he says, then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king. A prayer in that moment, taking only a moment before he answered to the king. Or athletes, sometimes you see them kneeling down, crossing themselves before a race, looking up to heaven, praying that God would be with them in the coming moments. Perhaps you know the story of Queen Esther in the Bible. She took her life in her hands, begging the king to save her people, the Jews, from slaughter. And as she was about to go in and see the king, she asked all the Jews, she called the Jews to pray and fast for her as she goes to the king. There's tremendous power, isn't there, in a prayer prayed in that moment of crisis, that moment of need. I think it's lovely if we can do as Wendy did, for example, when Chris was up here, to just pray for that need right there, right then, right now. Jesus tells his followers, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, don't worry beforehand about what to say. Just say what is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. In our reading, Jesus says, don't flaunt it. Don't make a big show of prayer, saying, oh, look at me praying in public. Don't try to use posh words. People do that, don't they? They try and posh up their normal language. Don't use long sentences. Keep it humble. Keep it simple. I think God should be like a member of our close family, someone that we can share everything with, not like some pompous authority figure that you've never met before and you think, oh goodness, I better say it right before God. God should be like our husband or wife, like our father or mother, or like our child. We should just be able to say things straight to God. So keep it humble and keep it simple. And don't lecture God either. You don't need to go into all the details, going on and on and on at great length. You're beginning to focus on the world again when you do that and not on God. And Jesus said he knows what you need already. Of course he knows. He's God, isn't he? But he does want to hear you say it. Say it simply. Mention it to him. Bring it before him. He wants you to talk to him, to converse with him, and listen for his reply too. And that goes for even the smallest of things. Being humble does not mean not mentioning small things. Actually, being humble means not being pleased with yourself, but being pleased with God instead. But if something matters, if it matters to you, then it matters to God as well. If it's a concern to you, then bring it before him, however small it is. Widows and orphans pray about small things, don't they? And we know how God loves to answer their prayers. I think the creator of ants and atoms delights in small things. Bring it all before God in prayer. Just to conclude, in the Gospels, Jesus' main message on prayer is to pray. Pray to God our Father and not give up. Persevere. Be persistent in prayer. Keep praying. Keep on asking. Because God longs to give good things to his children. Jesus knew, I think, that many of us don't quite believe that. We don't think we deserve it. We don't think God cares for us. And James, in his letter, says, you do not have because you do not ask God. When we're in real need, we pray, don't we? In Italy last week, when the bridge collapsed, People prayed. I know they did. In Syria, people pray. Today, in Hawaii, that little island, group of islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, the latest hurricane, Hurricane Lane, is causing massive flooding, damage, houses and people washed away, and people are praying. Of course they are. So that's the big message from last week and today. Even if our lives are not in desperate straits at the moment, just do it. Pray. Pray about the whole of life. Pray to God and keep praying to God.